How long did that war last for some people?
Well, if you ask an average American how long did World War II last, they're going to say from 1941 to 1945, which is about 4 years and a few months, so about 4.5 years. And if you ask a European or a Britisher how long did World War II last, they're going to say 9 years, from 1939 to 1945. If you ask a Japanese person how long did World War II last, they're going to say 15 years, because they invaded Manchuria in 1931, reestablished the Manchurian Imperium under Emperor Puyi, and continued fighting, as far as they know, up until 1945, when there was a ceasefire. And if you ask any Japanese person who lives in Brazil, as odd as this sounds, the largest Japanese population in the world outside of Japan has, for almost 100 years now, or a little over 100 years by now, been Brazil. And they're mostly concentrated in Sao Paulo. And if you ask them how long did World War II last, the vast majority of the older generation will say 20 years, because they'll count it from the invasion of Manchuria up until the date of the United Nations signing that peace treaty with Japan, between Japan and the United States, in September 8th of 1951. The reason why was because Japanese submarines, which were prowling the east coast of the United States, threatening the United States with nuclear attack, would port for vacation and leave in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And there were two factors that made this possible for the Japanese to strategically threaten the United States all the way up until 1951, when the United States desperately needed Japan as an ally in the Second Korean War. The first one, Korean War, being the American invasion of Korea shortly after the American Civil War, in which they installed an American dictator named Durham White Stevens over the Korean Peninsula back in the 1860s, late 1860s, early 1870s. And that man was later assassinated in San Francisco in front of the ferry building. And I dealt with the police records, and he was assassinated by two Korean assassins, and both of them went home alive. And he was written about in the New York Times. His obituary said he was, that Durham White Stevens was the American dictator of Korea. He was known internationally as a Caucasian who had been placed in charge of the Korean Peninsula. That was America's first Korean War. If you ask any American about it, there's very few Americans, including professors of history, who even know about it. But if they look it up on a search engine, they'll vet everything I'm saying and find out it's true.
So can you clear up a little bit of this China, Japan, and Korea
triangle? I'm going to try, because it's so important. Basically, what happened was, just as America had occupied South Vietnam while waging a war against North Vietnam, here they are occupying a nation while fighting a war. Just as they occupied South Korea while fighting against the North, here they are occupying a nation while fighting a war. The same thing happened with Japan. You had an occupation of the Japanese home islands, but before 1945, over 90% of the Imperial Japanese Army, which was the largest employer of anyone in the nation of Japan, more Japanese worked for the Imperial Japanese Army than any other part of Japanese society, over 90% of that army was in China. And that was on the day of the Hiroshima bombing. And on the day of the Hiroshima bombing, George Catlett Marshall, who essentially was running the United States war effort with Admiral King, received a report saying that on the day of the Hiroshima bombing, the Japanese had just raised 40 more divisions. And he was told at that point that all of this massive mobilization had just occurred. Japan had just begun to fight, which is why so few able-bodied Japanese men had ever died in any of these conventional fire bombings or atomic bombings. And the war was just beginning. And basically, a lot of these people in high command of the U.S. military welcomed it, because at this point, they had never had such control over the U.S. population in the entire history of the United States. At this point, the U.S. was on a war footing. The U.S. military had 27 million men in uniform. If you count the people overseas, if you count the people on radar watch in Greenland, if you count the people in uniforms at home, the entire United States was militarized. Truman, they considered to be a joke because they didn't know about his personality. Truman had been vice president for 28 days before he became president. He had just got into the office because Roosevelt had gotten rid of the man before him, who again had been found to be a card-carrying communist. And with Truman ushered in, he had never met Roosevelt. He had only posed twice with him in photo ops. He had no knowledge of the war. He had no knowledge of anything that was going on that the military was doing. So the military thought, hey, from now on, we're running the show. We've got a draft. We can just keep sending these men into the Pacific. And the longer this lasts for us, the better. We never want it to end. And it never did end for them. After Japan, there was Korea, there was Vietnam. The draft continued through that entire period of time, and these men had a huge amount of power in the United States that they never should have had. As a result, a lot of men needlessly died. And one of this was due to this kind of criminal kind of corruption where they just fed off this war effort. And that's one way that World War II was Vietnamized. Another way was they didn't know how prepared the Japanese had been. For instance, the Imperial Japanese Army, and again, people can vet this, was in possession in 1945 of no less than 7 carriers. And everyone knows, oh, the Japanese lost their carrier fleet. Oh, at Midway, everything was destroyed at that point in terms of any naval efforts. Well, the Japanese Army had never even deployed its carriers yet. Now, granted, these were escort carriers, made to carry about 35 planes each, but these 7 could serve as strike carriers, either with bombers or with the new jets the Japanese had gotten as knockoffs from the Germans, and could strike out of China at any time. And that was just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the weapons that the Japanese were amassing. Biological, the submarines, the Sentoku submarines that I mentioned, they're known as the I-400. People can look them up, S-E-N-T-O-K-U. And the Sentoku submarines were the largest submarines that had ever been built prior to the advent of the nuclear submarine. They were 400 feet long. Each one of them was made to carry 3 scout planes or 2 Peggy bombers, known as the Hiryu, our flying dragon type of medium bomber. Now, the Hiryu was built to carry an atomic bomb, and it was built around the bomb. And what that was a uranium little boy styled bomb, which was elongated to fit within a medium bomber. The plane was built around it. And beyond that, what people don't understand is the Japanese had atomic bombs. They had plenty of them. And the reason why was because of Konan Complex and Birobidzhan, the Jewish settlement in Manchuria. When Adolf Hitler started to purge Europe of Jews, Hirohito felt a tremendous obligation to help many Jews resettle in Asia because the Sassoon, known as the J.P. Morgan of Asia, ran the Shanghai Stock Exchange. He had lost family members to Russian pogroms, and during the Russo-Japanese War, he had financed the Japanese war machine to victory in 1904 and 1905. So in return, because Sephardim Jewish immigrants ran about one-third of the Shanghai Stock Exchange, they were able to help many Jewish emigres escape from the Third Reich and resettle in Asia. They were resettled in a buffer state between Manchuria and the Soviet Union that is still there today. And people can look this up on the search engines by looking up the Jewish Autonomous Oblast. And it's a Yiddish-speaking nation. It is not recognized by the United Nations. It has a tourist board. People can visit there. At the same time, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, because it was occupied at the end of World War II, many of the people who lived there took advantage of the Soviet Union's collapse to move to Israel. But during its heyday, when it was run in as an ally of the Japanese, there were 1 million resettled Jews in Birobidzhan. These were CPAs, MDs, engineers, physicists, and mathematicians of great brilliance. And they helped the Japanese to build the bomb. Now, where'd they get the supplies? Konan Complex in North Korea. All of the atomic bombs that North Korea threatens world peace with today are built in Japanese nuclear bomb manufacturing plants that were set up by the Japanese in World War II. The North Koreans called it Hungnam, H-U-N-G-N-A-M. People can look that up. In Japan's day, when Korea was part of Japan, it was called Konan, K-O-N-A-N. And Konan Complex had dammed 3 rivers, Yalu, Chosen, and another river whose name I forget, but people can find it on the map in that region. They were all dammed and provided the Konan Complex with literally enough energy so that it rivaled the entire nation of Japan. It put out as much energy as one-third of the nation of Japan on any given day. And it was never bombed throughout the war, The Americans were never able to reach it, and it was surrounded by uranium ore deposits. Now, as soon as Einstein had come up with the equations for E equals MC squared, the Japanese jumped on the nuclear bomb manufacturing idea, and they had purchased cyclotrons in San Francisco during the San Francisco World's Fair, which they purchased from, which were on display, put on display at the San Francisco World's Fair by UC Berkeley at the time. The Japanese actually purchased it, brought it back to Japan. They had more than a few cyclotrons in Japan, and a cyclotron, of course, does not make a bomb, but they had Konan Complex, which was an industrial site, the largest in Asia, which did. And the end result was they deployed them to stop the Soviet advance. And when the Soviets invaded at the end of the war and they invaded Manchuria, the Japanese had to stop them because Korea and Japan are so close that if you drink a can of beer on a Japanese beach and you throw it in the water, it'll float up on a Korean beach. They're so close that they could build a bridge. Politics is the only thing that prevented it. And during the war, the Japanese never built a bridge or a tunnel because they didn't want an invading power like the Soviets to be able to use that to their own military advantage.